Welcome to Sheep and Shepherds, a weekly conversation by a group of church elders who are concerned with the well-being of the people in their local congregation, Church of the Open Door of Leavenworth, Kansas. Let's join the conversation.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sheep and Shepherds, a podcast of Church of the Open Door in Leavenworth, Kansas. My name is Kevin Gensler. I'm an elder here at the church, and I'm joined today again by Pastor Damian Efta, our senior pastor, and Pastor Andy Huber, our youth and music leader. We are today going to take on a number of different topics, perhaps, as we talk about different things that are important to the church body and to edification of the saints. But I thought, gentlemen, we might start by just thinking about some things that are going on here shortly, and that is the first thing that comes to mind is Thanksgiving. And I've always enjoyed Thanksgiving as a holiday. What are some memories you guys have of Thanksgiving?
You know, probably my most vivid one is a recent one, and it's not necessarily a good one, but it is kind of humorous because I think it was just 2 years or so ago we thought we would smoke our turkeys on an outdoor smoker that we have at our house. And we had guests coming over, and everything was all set, and put the turkeys on. I guess it'd be Wednesday night, so they'd smoke all night and be ready Thursday morning. Got up Thursday morning, the whole thing had caught on fire and literally burnt to the ground. And Thursday morning, there's no turkeys anywhere. You can't buy any at the store. Too late even to make one if you could. So we were still thankful, but we didn't have any turkey.
That is unfortunate. You know, I got to say, one of the most memorable Thanksgivings I ever had, my uncle, when I was growing up, he was, my youngest uncle. And, 1 year for Thanksgiving, I don't remember why, we went to his house for Thanksgiving, and he ordered pizza.
And pizza for Thanksgiving.
It was me and my brother and my uncle, and we just kind of like enjoyed being together, and we had pizza for Thanksgiving dinner. And as a little kid, you know, I thought that was great.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite memories is also about smoking a turkey. Picked up that habit of smoking turkeys for Thanksgiving from a friend of ours that we met in Italy, a missionary over there while we were stationed there. And so it's just been always one of those things that we've done ever since. We moved to Germany and we had some friends come over to have Thanksgiving dinner with us. And they had a daughter who was, at the time, she was probably about 4 years old. And I had smoked the turkey at our house, and it was the way I smoked it, it's more like a roasting, really, but the skin was completely black. It had really smoked well, and it turned the whole thing black. And little Jessica, I heard her come in and look at her mom, goes, "Mom, Mr. Gensler burned the turkey." But it still turned out good, so it wasn't burned. It
was not as burned smoked. As Damien's.
Damien's, right.
Mr. Efta didn't just burn the turkey. He burnt the roaster down.
Yeah, so Thanksgiving always has some good memories. And for me, too, also, it's every seventh year, it's my birthday.
So
every seventh year I get a big celebration.
Yeah, that's my dad as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. So today I was thinking we might start by talking about the relationship a church should have with other churches in your area. The idea is to kind of talk about the ecumenical idea a little bit, the ecumenical movement, I guess, towards churches working together for common purposes and those kinds of things. But what should the role be, or how should we interact as a church body, and especially as leaders in the church? How should we act towards other churches?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really kind of an interesting question. And maybe a lot of people in churches don't really understand kind of all of that, you know, the ecumenical and what goes on, but almost in every city, correct me if I'm wrong, almost in every city, there's an ecumenical pastors council that is it exists, and I know I and Andy we've had lots of invitations to these groups and and to be a part of it and to be part of plannings and all kinds of different things, and I just think that they exist everywhere. I've never heard of a place where they don't exist. Just to say, and we just for all intents and purposes just haven't been involved at all in the one here, and I haven't in any other areas, and so it's kind of an important question, why not, why two, and I think one of the reasons that they exist. And I think a common thing that draws people to them or away from them is kind of an understanding of the purpose of the church. Mm-hmm. And if you take the purpose of the church based on what typically happens, at least in the ecumenical groups I've seen, the purpose seems to be much more kind of, what would be the term, social, cultural, kind of building community spirit, all these things that have for making a very nice place to live, food pantries and but not necessary, but that purpose being primary, isn't that, yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah. And you often hear and they couch it in the idea, in the auspices of unity. Mm-hmm. Okay. Unity, together as one, that kind of thing. But, the reality is they are not united around the gospel. They're not united around the truth of God's word. They're not united around other things. But what they're talking about is being united around the thing that you're talking about, this kind of like social effort in the community, and providing food for the homeless and that kind of thing. They're united around helping. Mm-hmm. Rather than united around biblical unity, I guess is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and as and if that is kind of your opinion of what the church should be, then it makes a great deal of sense to be a part of that and to be engaged in that. Where for us, we kind of have a different understanding of the central purpose of the church, the pillar and the support of truth, as Timothy tells us, or as Paul, I'm sorry, tells Timothy. And so in that sense, for when you have people that are united around maybe a very good social work, but they have massively divergent opinions on what is truth in the gospel, then we're looking at this and saying, okay, what should be our demeanor towards people who just have a very different understanding of the gospel, and sometimes massively different, which we would call a false gospel, and right. Paul would tell the Galatians, that if anyone preaches another gospel, let him be anathema, let him be damned. And so it's like, okay, if there's another gospel, we certainly can't, unite with that in any manner. And others, maybe even just a confused gospel that still causes confusion in people's mind. But there's a lot of biblical references that talk about the doctrinal purity both of a church, both in what it believes and what people promote. I mean, John talks about if anybody comes, speaking false doctrine. Mm-hmm. He says, don't associate with such a one.
Yep. I mean,
because you're giving the appearance, you're helping, you're looking like you're in agreement with these things, mm-hmm. and we shouldn't be. So those kind of drive us, I think.
Yeah. And again, you know, this is a podcast for our local church. And so our local church exists in Leavenworth, Kansas. And, you know, if there's any question in the minds of our congregation about, for instance, helping down at the homeless shelter, we've been asked, we've been approached about helping down there. And my first question was, as we do this counseling, as people are coming in, you know, can we proclaim the gospel? Can we share the gospel with them? And the clear answer was, oh no. Oh no, no, no. We don't do that. We're united around helping people, but not united around the gospel. And so, you know, our response had to be, well, we're gonna minister to those in our community in a different way then.
That's a good point, Andy, that without the gospel there, then what's the purpose of being there for us as a church? Pastor, you mentioned you used the word works, and I don't think you used it necessarily in this context, but does it seem like those organizations, those ecumenical groups, are more focused on a works salvation almost than really the truth of the gospel?
You know, are these, when we talk, at least when I think of works salvation, I think of the primarily the theological concept that works in opposition to faith. You got to work your way to heaven instead of faith alone through Christ alone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we could say that all of them are in a works salvation. I think there probably are some there that would believe in salvation by faith alone through Christ alone. Yet they think that the primary outworking of that is the social engagement. It is a works help. Some would clearly believe that they're getting their way to heaven by helping the poor. There's no doubt about that. But mm-hmm. but I don't think that would be the only belief. I think some would simply think that this is what it means to be a Christian. This is the first thing that means to be a Christian. That's very popular in culture wide right now, just not even just locally here, but many Christians are being challenged with what is the place of helping the poor, mm-hmm. For a person who holds to, you know, the scripture as the ultimate authority of life.
And as you mentioned, it is a fundamental disagreement about what is the gospel. We believe that the gospel is those propositional truths that are clearly communicated with words for the salvation of people. They need to hear that they are sinners. They need to hear that Jesus came and died. For a lot of these other churches, for a lot of these other organizations, the gospel is helping people. The gospel is community change, and we disagree with that.
Yeah, it's become certainly in the recent years, it's the social gospel mentality has really been strengthened, I think, by the political environment going on across the country. So we kind of know, just listening to you both talk, we kind of know what the church has done, our church at least has done, in regard to should we be involved or not as a church. What about individuals? Because that's what we need to, another thing we need to get across to the congregation is how should you respond as an individual to these opportunities or requests?
Yeah, you know, we're called to be salt and light wherever we are, and so I think that that's true in this area. And so for believers to be engaged in doing good to those, especially who are in very hard circumstances, is an outworking of our faith. The only cautions, because it's such a minefield today, that we have to be careful. The only cautions with that is is that we don't send a mixed signal about what the gospel is. And that's why sometimes it's just much easier to do that with a group of atheists who make no claims about this has got nothing to do, we're just simply
just helping.
And I'm here helping them in the name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But when the organization is in a sense has religious connotations and there's baggage there that becomes confusing. So I think as just believers we've got to be cautious that we don't give either direct or even placid agreement to that which just isn't true. But having said that, I think we should find whatever opportunities we can, and it may be working for the Red Cross, and the Red Cross is a good organization as far as I know, and I can work for the Red Cross and use that as an opportunity to help. I can use the name of Christ, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. That's the best situation. Is I'm doing these works in because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, and we tie them together. Mm-hmm. That's the best scenario. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had people in the past. We've been kind of connected with people in the past who say, real Christians do this, or real Christians help in this way, or real Christians are active in this kind of extra church ministry. And the idea is that, the scripture says real Christians do good. I mean, they do. It flows out of them. It's appropriate for Christians and members of our church to go stand outside of Planned Parenthood and talk to people. And it's appropriate for people in our church to go work at, Birthright or for the Gideons or whatever it is. As long as they can stand according to the truth of the gospel, according to their own convictions, and freely proclaim the truth of God's word, and all of those things are good, and all of them are right things to do, but they can't replace our service to the church because this is your local body, right? You need to serve here, your efforts, your work can't replace the clear, distinct telling of the gospel.
Right, right. That's an interesting point you bring up, Andy, about, it can't replace our service to the church. We can't do stuff for Planned Parenthood, sorry. We can't do stuff for Birthright or another organization like that and say, well, that counts for what I should be doing for the Lord, right, at my church, because the body here needs us to be involved here. Right. We need to be doing things to build up the body, to educate, to train, to just to accomplish the daily tasks of the church.
Yeah, and that whole concept is, it's a completely, in the scriptures, it's in a sense a completely different situation because it falls into conjunction with the giftings of the Holy Spirit that believers are gifted by the Holy Spirit for the building up of the body of Christ. And so whatever we do in every area of life, that we are all called to, we are all gifted and expected to build up the church of Jesus Christ in some manner. And if we use anything as an excuse not to be involved in that, well, we're on the wrong track.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other thoughts about that? This idea of kind of the ecumenical approach to opportunities, I guess.
I was, and it's on the subject, maybe not ecumenical, but I was looking for the text, and I can't remember the text. But a church like us, we put a lot of emphasis on the Great Commission, and I think later we're going to talk about the Great Commission. But those who would think of the purpose of the church and the gospel, as Pastor Huber mentioned, not being good works. They have a text of scripture, and I don't know if you can remember where it is. And they call it, and they have a term for it. It's called the Nazareth Manifesto. And it's in one of the Gospels, and I was just looking for it real quickly and I haven't been able to come across it. But it is a Gospel, it's a portion of one of the Gospels where Christ talks about doing good. And I think by virtue of its name, it was while one of the times he was in Nazareth, I think, but don't quote me on that. And it becomes for this group of people what the Great Commission is for us. And so where we would talk so much about taking the gospel around the world, they would talk about, you know, the Great Commission. They would talk about the Nazareth Manifesto that God has commanded us to take these good works. And so they, some at least, will do it with believing that that is kind of the central command of Christ. I wish I knew where that was.
I'm not sure. I've heard of what you're referencing. Maybe Luke 4:15 and around there. But the idea of the good news to the poor and the whole of Jesus's ministry being merely this helping of the oppressed.
So I found a thing here that mentions it and says one Sabbath day early in Jesus' ministry, he visited his hometown of Nazareth and stood before the town synagogue filled with old friends and neighbors. That day he read these words from Isaiah 61,
yeah.
1 and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.
Yeah, that's the text that's pointed to. Thank you.
Kevin, before we chatted, you had mentioned that while this negative view of ecumenism is generally something to be avoided for Bible teaching churches, we talked about the fact that we actually do positively participate with other churches, but we're out of time, so that will be the topic of our next episode.
Sounds good. We'll pick up with that, and we'd just like to thank you for joining us today for Sheep and Shepherds, and look forward to having you with us again on our next podcast.